This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew stink. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It was like winning, abused me. I'm finally cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it. Cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow, so I keep conjuring. Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts spawn from.
I can't ponder it, do you want? There's no one you can lose in your mind the way you want.
I think you've been wandering off down yonder and stumbled on to Jeff Van Gundren. Cause I need an interventionist to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself and all this conflict. Cause of everything that I love killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD's talking me in the head, keep knocking. Nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying what the voice in my head saying. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just
friends with
the
monster.
One day that I walk amongst you, a regular civilian.
So, just got off the phone with Jim Capers. His, I don't know, somebody doing publicity for the documentary told him not to do the interview till he got involved in it. So, he's not coming on today.
Turn nothing into something, still can make that. Draw in the gold, jump, I will spin. Rumpel still skin in a haystack. Maybe I need a straight jacket. Fake facts, I am nuts for real, but I'm okay with that. It's nothing, I'm still
friends
with
the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy. I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along.
This kind of stuff pisses me off like you can't even believe. So you call up, you know, Jim, and you have this conversation, and everything's great, and he's coming on excited to do it. And then some jackass media person gets involved in it. Yeah, don't do it. So now what's going to happen is this jackass is going to say, well, what's a good date? I don't know. How about July 11th at 8 o'clock? Well, it's already passed. No shit, jackass. Why would you shut it off? What are you going to tell Jim Capers to say? Oh, nothing? Yeah, he's probably not going to do what you say. What kind of shit irritates me? Doing my breathing exercises. So we'll have to jump through this guy's wickets, and then we'll get to do the interview with Jim Capers that we had scheduled for today. Text message, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
323 error code, which means he's in Los Angeles, which means he's some media guy that's been contracted by the people making the documentary. Right? Look, I don't want to talk about the documentary exclusively, okay? I want to talk about his career, what it's like to be one of the first black officers in the Marine Corps, what it was like to go from staff NCO and be an enlisted Marine in the late 50s, early 60s. What was that like? Right? Tell me about your first tour in Vietnam when he was like a diving supervisor. Right? I saw a video, in fact, just a little bit about Jim. I saw a video. There was a ship that was sunk off the coast of Vietnam by Viet Cong divers, attached explosives to the hull, breached the hull, and the ship goes down. Capers gets sent with his dive team off the coast of Vietnam, and they're supposed to look at the hull in order to make sure there's no other explosives on it, so that they can begin salvage operations. So they get in the water, they're headed to the ship, he and his divers, and all of a sudden, they said it was some kind of army vessel, and the army, you know, they did brown water ops in addition to the Navy. So, they go by as they're diving towards the boat. This boat goes over the top, and what do? Unload all their garbage. What do you think that attracts? A whole bunch of tiger sharks. So he stops and looks, and it's interesting in the video, Jim Capers talks about it wasn't just going to reflect on him that, another text message, Mac, you sound pissed, bro. Let me just tell you, this stuff and, you know, these publicity people, they're such jackasses, right? I guarantee you, this guy doesn't know shit about Jim Capers. He doesn't know shit about what he did in Vietnam, right? But he's in charge. Anyway. So I am pissed. I've dealt with this shit in my life. And so then you're going to call him like, and here's what he's going to say. Oh, this is awesome. How long do you want to interview him for? Probably an hour and a half. An hour and a half? Yeah. We're going to talk about his career. Okay. We'll talk a little bit about the documentary, but that's not the focal point, right? This segment's going to be devoted to his career, his time in combat, his post-combat related mental health thoughts, and his life. Oh, wow, that's awesome. What is this radio show? What do you do? All Marine Radio. Yeah, you can look it up. AllMarineRadio.com. Got probably 500,000 downloads by now. 4 million hits in the last, 15 months or so. Yeah, you can check it out. Oh, wow. Jeez, I never, okay. Now, could you turn the interview back on for me before I get in my car and come? Because it's a 323 error code. That's Los Angeles. You know what that means? It's within easily driving distance. That's right. So I don't have to come visit you. That's right.
Hey, hey, don't need to be like that.
Yes. Anywho. Yeah, so Capers says that these tiger sharks come. Yeah, so back to my ADD style of news, doing the news. Capers says that these tiger sharks are all over the place. And the guys in the ship that they're on, the small craft, as it were, the diving boat, they could see the sharks all over the place, eating food. And they're like, oh, my God. So the divers all come back to the boat, and Capers gets back on after they get on. But when you talk, he said, look, if I fail like that, it's not going to just be on me, Jim Capers. It's going to be I'm going to give ammunition to all these people that say, you know, black men should not be officers in the Marine Corps. They're not capable. So he deals with that. So anyway, so very much looking forward to having him on. And he was very apologetic. I got told I'm not supposed to do it. Okay, so we'll check the news. I'll tell you what, I'll get a couple audio clips from other things that he's done just to kind of give you a sense of Jim Capers, who he is, and what we'll talk about. But all right, here's a little 3-minute clip. Here's a little 3-minute clip about Jim Caper. 2008. I'll read the part that comes up as kind of placards. Marine Corps Major James Capers Jr. was recommended for the Medal of Honor for his actions in Vietnam 41 years earlier. Despite strong endorsements from two general officers and several men of Capers served with, the award was downgraded to the Silver Star.
There's a history lesson.
This is the voice of Sergeant Richard Krepno.
About if you have the story and you have the legend, you print the legend. But Jim Capers is both the story and the legend in one.
Now, if you look up Jim Capers, again, C-A-P-E-R-S, he's got this awesome poster. Okay? Seriously, it is a great-looking poster of him as a Marine. And so, it's awesome. And it was a recruiting poster. So you can imagine in the 60s, the Marine Corps is going to find a black Marine and put him on a recruiting poster. What does that guy got to look like? Right? He's got to look like, I want to be that guy. And he does. It's a great-looking poster.
For those who may not know, Jim Capers is considered the spiritual founder of Marine Corps Special Operations.
It's the voice of Major General Paul LaFave.
Jim was born in a sharecropper's cabin in South Carolina and was the youngest of 8 children. Most of his brothers and sisters died in infancy. Jim joined the Corps in 1956 during a time when African Americans were not accepted with open arms. But Jim knew that bigotry crumbles in the face of professionalism and excellence. And so he worked harder than everyone else around him. He made himself the strongest, the toughest, the smartest, the most professional warrior those around him had ever seen.
But when you look at him, he's a beast physically, okay? He's one of those guys, just natural, out of the box, a beast.
13 pieces of shrapnel and one bullet hole. I probably would have died. He lost so much blood that, I mean, they gave him transfusions for days.
Oh, hold on. Let me read it because there's a wide shot of this. Okay. examination on admission revealed a 29-year-old Negro male with multiple dressings covering all wounds of the lower extremities. The right lower extremity was immobilized in a... Hold on. Short leg posterior plaster splint. Upon removal of the dressings, multiple open wounds were noted. The exact location of the wounds are described in this board under his final physical examination. 1 inch right inguinal region, 2 inch left anterior thigh, nine inch, that's not good, left medial tibial area. These are all separate wounds. 2 inch left posterior tibial area, 3 inch right medial thigh, 4.5 inch right lateral thigh, 2.5 right posterior thigh, 2 inch right anterior tibial area. I don't even know. What's tibial mean? Isn't it a place on your leg? 2 inch right posterior tibial area of the tibia. 3 inch right lateral tibial area. 5 inch right lateral distal tibial area, and a 7.5 by 3.5 skin graft site on the left thigh. Yikes. So that's what they show that to you. They kind of pan through it to give you some sense of his wounds. They show him shaving and his medications that he takes.
He never considered his own life. His men were above his own life. He didn't ever consider his own life when he was out there.
The fact that Jim Capers was given a Silver Star in lieu of the Medal of Honor is disgusting, quite frankly.
This is the lieutenant colonel by the name of Greg Manet, M-A-N-E-Y.
Certainly it takes away from what he stands for, the best of the best. And the best of the best, particularly in combat, should be awarded your best decoration.
It was amazing the things that these gentlemen went through and survived.
This is Gunnery Sergeant Linda Brown, who evidently worked on the Medal of Honor package.
And they said if he had not been there, they would not have survived. I believe it was pushed by the generals, because if it hadn't been pushed by the generals, he would never have been recognized. We wrote him out for what he did, and then we compared it to the order, and then that's when we came to the conclusion it was the Medal of Honor. Man's a hero.
All right, so that's a little bit about Jim Capers, a little bit about his story. The where's the other thing? Listen, this is about a 4-minute story about the Sharks, okay? But you'll get a sense when he's when he's talking the burden as one of the first black officers serving in combat, leading Marines in combat, that he carries with him. Interesting. Okay.
I have asked the commanding general what more he needs to meet this mounting aggression, and we will meet his needs.
It's 1966. As Sergeant Capers gets off the USS Boxer, he is joining 180,000 other U.S. personnel there to help a struggling South Vietnam stay independent. The Chinese and Viet Cong have been outnumbered nearly 2-1. For Capers, his first assignment was as the master combat diver, overseeing a group of men based in Nha Trang, a once beautiful harbor on the south central coast. home to the famous Koh Nagar Tower, it is a major harbor and a major target for Viet Cong saboteurs, hoping to disrupt supplies coming in from overseas. On May 2nd, under cover of darkness, Viet Cong divers attach at least one mine to the hull of the USNS Carr, killing five men and sinking it in 48 feet of water.
And so they wanted my diving team to go down and check the ship for explosives.
Capers' job was to take his men to the broken ship and make sure it was safe for the Navy salvage teams to bring her back to the surface.
We went down to search the bottom of the ship. The ship was almost 1,000 feet long.
To ensure the sinking of a ship the size of the USNS Carr, the Marines were convinced that there were more mines to find, and it was Jim's job to find them.
You know, you're watching the video, okay, and I don't know if anybody remembers, some of you will be old enough, there was a show called Sea Hunt with Lloyd Bridges on it. I used to love that show, and the show was about him as a former UDT diver in the Navy, and the show's about, you know, the stuff that he does, you know, and the things he gets involved with. Pretty cool show. Anyway, as opposed to, you know, the stuff that we see divers wear now, these guys are wearing, like, UDT shorts, right? They have three air tanks on their back, and they have this, you know, they have this mask that we would wear in the 60s, okay? That we would wear in the 60s. And it just, you look at it, and you're like, oh, look at that, man. And they're going down to depth with that kind of stuff on. And anyway, so again, this is Jim Capers' first tour in Vietnam. We'll pick up where we kind of left off.
Take his men to the broken ship and make sure it was safe for the Navy salvage teams to bring her back to the surface.
We went down to search the bottom of the ship. The ship was almost 1,000 feet long.
To ensure the sinking of a ship the size of the USNS Carr, the Marines were convinced that there were more mines to find, and it was Jim's job to find them. And then disaster struck. Both the Navy and the Army committed a major FUBAR. Just as Jim's team began searching the hull, a nearby Army vessel began dropping trash in the water, attracting a school of deadly tiger sharks.
Just one of those classic case of the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. And when they dumped the garbage, the tiger sharks would show up, feeding. It was kind of scary. Never saw a thing like that.
Tiger sharks are man-eaters. Growing as long as 15 feet, Jim was taking no chances.
I saw him out and I figured this is not good. Because I'm in charge. I'm the dive master. I'm thinking if one of my guys drown, it'll verify what people always thought. This black guy, this black guy, that.
Who's me but not my man?
So I secured the dive, put everybody back in the dive boats, and got back aboard the ship.
When they got to the surface, the team was welcomed back by a round of applause. They had seen the sharks and had been worried for Capers and his men coming back safely.
The few black sailors they had, they applauded when I come out of the water. They never saw such a sight either.
Eventually, the USNS Carr was secured, raised, and served again. And Staff Sergeant Capers learned a valuable lesson. Never trust someone else for his men's safety.
It was a test of fortitude, test of leadership. I was never so proud of my men when we got back.
Pretty cool stuff. You know, there was another video that I watched this morning, and if I can find it, they're all really short things, and that's why I love All Marine Radio. One of the reasons I love it. I love it for a lot of reasons. He talks about after he got commissioned, right? And mind you, he's he got commissioned the same way that, Wesley Fox got commissioned, the same way that Jim Bathurst got commissioned. These guys are career stud staff NCOs. And the Marine Corps says, we don't have enough officers, so we're going to commission our staff NCOs, and so we're going to commission you. And so Wesley Fox, one day he's a gunny in France, selected for first sergeant. The next day he's a second lieutenant and headed for a different place. And so Jim Capers was the same. So I think it's in this little, it's about a 60-second clip, so hopefully it is. He tells a story of not being saluted by a white Marine for the first time.
In recognition of his acts of valor, Capers is selected to become the face of the Marines. Still recovering from his wounds, the photo shoot was a challenge.
I could hardly stand up. My right leg had been broken. I'd been hit pretty badly. And on occasion, sometime when I would stagger, a Marine would come up and stand behind me and say, "It's going to be okay, sir. You can do this."
Hundreds of photos later, Lieutenant Capers is now the new face of the Marines.
They'd never seen anything like this before.
While I was in college, when I saw that image of Jim, I said, gee, you know, I'd really like...
This is another black general officer, Major General James Williams. He's now retired.
Know who that is, and someday I want to join Force Recon.
It was time for the Marine Corps and the world to see the sacrifices that African Americans had made in different places of the world.
Pretty amazing, and the other thing is, it's like all the advertising the Marine Corps tends to do, pretty good stuff, right? The Marine Corps has got a long history of doing incredible stuff with its marketing, winning all kinds of different awards for it, so anyway, here it is right here. This is, you know, a Marine telling him, he didn't salute him, and so he stops him, and the Marine says to him, I'm sorry, I've never seen a black officer. I didn't notice.
I was commissioned. A young Marine staff sergeant came down the street. I saw him. He saw me, and he walked on by. And I'm thinking that he's supposed to salute me. And I stopped him, and I said, "Staff sergeant, it's customary to salute an officer." And he said, "Lieutenant, forgive me. Just didn't know you were an officer." He said, "I've never seen a Negro officer in my life. I did not know." I said, "Sergeant, that's probably very true. I'm sure you haven't. That's okay." He saluted me, went our way, and I never thought any more about it.
How about that? Here's another one about the burden of being the first. But when you see him, man, he's a stud.
In Vietnam, had I drowned on a dive mission or had I made the wrong decision, then it would give the naysayers fodder for saying we knew we shouldn't commission those guys. So I couldn't fail. You know, the failure for me was not an option. I had to succeed. And so every mission I went on, I had that in the back of my mind. And not only could I not fail, I had to make sure I kept my troops alive, because they depended on me now. But they also knew the burden that I was carrying.
Yeah, and so we'd be talking to him, except for some punk publicity dude. Nice. Here's another about 60-second clip of him talking about special operations.
The Marine Corps did not welcome individuals like me, no matter what my skill set was, because there was no precedence for a guy like me in force reconnaissance and to do the things that I was capable of doing. There were some barriers set up. There were some individuals, obviously, maybe didn't want me there. But the hierarchy thought that if he's got the skills, at least give me the chance to try. And that's all I really wanted. And I was accepted.
When you see the picture of him as a young guy, like I said, the picture of him with a cigar in his mouth, I mean, you get, and it's not like they did CrossFit back in the day. You know what I'm saying? You know, now you look at guys and, you know, they're all into nutrition and they're this. When you look at him, he's one of those genetically gifted guys. that the Marine Corps loves. To be told the Marine Corps loves. And here's one more. He's talking about experiences in Vietnam and playing God and whatnot. So this is Jim Capers. Last segment relative to audio stuff that we'll do, and then we'll take a break and we'll check the news. And now that I'm over my anger, we'll get him back on the program. His story is a great story.
When I fired on him, his head exploded. And I could see him looking at me.
Hold on, let me restart this. He talks about somebody he shot. All right, an enemy that he shot.
When I fired on him, his head exploded. And I could see him looking at me. And that image has been frozen in my mind forever. I can see it today. I can see him moving his head, the look in his eyes. I remember squeezing the trigger. That bothered me. He was a young soldier. I didn't have time to think about it. His brains splattered on my boot. Yeah, that was probably one of the more profound images that I still have. But I took the shot. And those were personal things. I'm sure other soldiers have had the same feelings. It's a little different than dropping a bomb from 52,000 feet. When you can see his eyes, and the way his eyes were looking at me, it was a fear. You know, you're playing God, and you're covering it up by saying in interest of national defense, kill him before he kills me.
We'll take a break, Jim Capers. We'll get him on, Major, United States Marine Corps. So, anyway, we'll check the news coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Email entitled, Damn It. Disappointing, but we still love you. In parentheses, man hug. Hey, just for the record, I don't man hug, okay? I don't like it, right? We'll wait for this media dick to unfuck himself. You know, sometimes I struggle with the profanity. I'm thinking, you know, we shouldn't use so much profanity. But you know what? We have to. It's not, I know. But that's our language, okay? Yeah, you know, here's another email. So Mac, what should the guy have done? He's in charge of publicity for the movie. What he should have done when he found out about the interview was, hey, do you have this guy's contact information? Yeah, I do. It's right here. I got an email from him. Okay. Will you forward that to me? Sure. Hey Mac, just got off the phone with Jim. Really excited that he could be on your program. Here's a list of questions that we hope you'll consider asking him. If I can be of any service to you, please let me know. Boom. Oh, by the way, the signature on my email has my phone. You could call me. Oh, you mean he could have been helpful? Yeah, that's the ticket. He could have been helpful. But what did he choose? He chose not to be helpful. And he's in Los Angeles. Yeah. Anyway. All right, so I need to get over that. Give me a few months, and I'll be all right with it. We'll check out the news of the day. First, let me get to the latest headlines from the president and his blowtorch in Europe today. Which I think is moderately comical. Okay, so give me one second. I gotta pull up a headline. Aggregator, as they're known. Headlines. Trump opens NATO summit with blasted allies. Accuses Germany over ties to Russia. Okay, that's from the LA Times, so we don't want to read that because we know it'll be slanted. From CNN, Trump. Germany is captive of Russia, end quotes. CNN, headline 2, Trump opens NATO summit with blistering criticism of Germany, labels allies delinquent. Okay? That is true. And let me tell you, here's one we're going to take a look at. This is amazing. Okay? Because it's from the Washington Post. Okay? Believe it or not, Trump just told the truth. Oh, my God. So anyway, the president. All right, so let me view full coverage. All right, let me find something that I think is reasonable. From Reuters, U.S. House Speaker Ryan says NATO is indispensable. So we're playing good cop. We're playing good cop, bad cop. All right. Don't read stories from that. Al Jazeera. Headline in Al Jazeera, NATO summit, has Trump shifted U.S. alliance in Europe? From CBS this morning, I don't want to read the Huffington Post, Fox, move NATO headquarters from Brussels to London. Don't want to read that. The Independent, why Donald Trump is so hostile to NATO. From The Guardian, Germany and Russia gas link. Trump is not the only one to ask questions. Oh, really? Because he's getting painted like he's the world champion. Jackass. So interesting Aziz. As the president kind of takes his act to Europe. Anyway, this is from the Christian Science Monitor. NATO : does old squabble over costs mask U.S. shift away from Europe? U.S. presidents have long wrestled with the question: is NATO worth it? A consensus might be yes, though Europe should pay more. But leaders there worry that something more fundamental is at play. When President Trump told a rally in Montana last week that Americans are schmucks for carrying the defense burden of wealthy European nations, he set the stage for another contentious meeting with U.S. allies at the NATO summit here on Wednesday. But the bit of coarse presidential hyperbole also raised anew a question that has nagged U.S. presidents since the end of the Cold War. It's a question that has only sharpened under an American First president who broadly questions many multilateral arrangements the U.S. has had since World War II. And I might add, quite rightly questioning that quote-unquote order of American subsidizing economies and militaries for close to 80 years. In short, it's this. Is NATO worth it? Do American taxpayers and what Donald Trump refers to as the American piggy bank get their money's worth for participating in and indeed leading Europe's defense? Not just another member leading Europe's defense. Some national security experts concur with Trump's campaign pronouncement that NATO is obsolete, insisting that the 29-nation organization has outlived its purpose and is too bureaucratic and unwieldy. The legitimate common thread the alliance members face, they say, could be more efficiently met through less costly coalitions of willing partners, depending on the particular threat being assessed. But many others say the U.S., as the world's sole superpower, gets more than it pays for out of the alliance that proves that provides it with partners for its far-flung military operations, Afghanistan for one example, and that buttress a Western-led global order in which America prosperity rests. So anyway, so this has been obviously going on for decades. The problem is defending wealthy nations who won't support their own defense. That's what I think what the president ought to be questioning, and he quite rightly questioned. So anyway, so that going on to that. All right, some headlines from Marine Corps Times. U.S. Senate votes to defend NATO as Trump attacks the alliance. What? Quote, lawmakers in Washington worked quickly Tuesday to set legislative guardrails in support of NATO as President Donald Trump, who has repeatedly bashed the alliance, arrived in Europe for a NATO summit and meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Hours after Trump landed in Brussels, the Senate passed a non-binding measure, 97-2, that expressed support for NATO, its mutual self-defense, blah, 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 blah. So you have the Senate passing a resolution. Kind of interesting, because I think they've seen the president do this often enough, where he goes and, dare we call it the chaos theory? Right, that he throws it all up in the air, and then he goes ahead and he begins to negotiate as it comes back down to the ground. So what's he doing here? Is it more of that, or is it something more fundamental? The United States is going to abandon NATO. If I was a betting man, I would say this. Would really, really enjoy powerful nations like Germany, like, stop giving your soldiers mock wooden sticks to simulate weapons. Okay? We need you to get past that. We need, for instance, your six submarines, at any time, three of those ought to at least be capable of getting underway. All right? 50%, that's crappy readiness. Okay, we'll give you one down for maintenance, long-term maintenance, maybe another one in dry dock for repair. So we're giving you one extra sub to go ahead and break or do whatever, right? Three, being able to. When you're 0-for-6 in terms of your ability to get to sea, come on, man. What are we, stupid? And in the past, what's happened? George Bush has gone over there and wrung his hands and kind of cajoled them. Donald Trump, he's a little bit more blunt. I like it. I like it. Again, some of the other stuff he does that goes along with it, not so much. Not so much. He doesn't, his style. Hello. So we'll see. We'll see. But again, what you'll have, you'll hear his sound clips used by other people to make points and get on TV and all that nonsense. What's the substantive issue associated with it? Is some nations in Europe don't pay their fair share, and they need to. That's it. Okay? You can't stand down your military when Vladimir Putin is annexing countries, the first force annexation of a country since World War II. Yeah. By force, physically redrew the boundary. First time in Europe since World War II. Yeah, what do we need a military for? Anyway. All right. Another story, and I don't even want to read it, but I feel like I have to. Okay. NFL Players Union files grievance over anthem policy. The NFL Players Association filed a grievance on Tuesday with the National Football League challenging the national anthem policy. The union says that the new policy, which the league imposed without consultation with the NFL Players Association, is inconsistent with the collective bargaining agreement and infringes on players' rights. The filing met a statute of limitations deadline and will be heard by an independent arbitrator. An NFL Players Association spokesman said. In May, the NFL approved its national anthem policy at its owners' meeting. The policy allows players to protest during the national anthem by staying in the locker room, but forbids them from sitting or taking a knee if they're on the field or on the sideline. teams will be subject to fines if players don't comply and will have the option of punishing the player or paying the fine by themselves. As a sidebar, the New York Jets announced that they would pay any fines incurred by their players. So, in essence, the New York Jets can decide to completely ignore the policy. Yeah, our players are going to come out for the national anthem, and if they choose to protest, we'll pay for it. When the league announced the policy, Commissioner Roger Goodell called it a compromise aimed at putting the focus back on football after a tumultuous year in which television ratings dipped nearly 10%. Some blamed the protests for such a drop. The union said at that time they would file a grievance against any change in the collective bargaining agreement. And what the NFL has done, and you notice NBA, again, the NBA doesn't have this issue. Baseball doesn't have this issue. The NFL does. And it's costing them money. It's costing them, instead of people focusing on the game, what is going to be the focus here? Focus is going to be who's taking a knee. It's going to be the big story again in the NFL. And then, even worse, I'm not going to get to watch it. And that's what's pissing me off. The union said Tuesday it has proposed having its executive committee talking to the NFL instead of proceeding with litigation. The union said the NFL has agreed to those discussions. The NFL declined to comment about the union's actions. You would think the union would want to say, hey, look, we don't think this is good. We've watched the whole debate. Look, the NFL's already agreed to provide $89 million to a fund. What else do you want? What do you want from us? How do we make this stop? How do we get the focus back on football? That's what we do. We promote football in our league. How do we do that? Can you help us? You're our partners. Okay? In no other business do I know that somebody gets to walk in and stand up and say, Trump sucks during business hours. And is allowed to continue employment. They get fired. Can't do it. NFL, you can. In 2016, they go over Colin Kaepernick, blah, 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 blah. Quote, we're here for a bigger platform, Raiders tight end Jared Cook said during the spring. We're not just athletes. We're people that live this. It's people in our neighborhood. It's people that we grew up with. It's people that we know who are actually living through these circumstances. So when we speak on it, it's not just like we're speaking out of the side of our neck. It's things that actually touch home and things that we actually relate to. All I have to say is this. I think it's just sad that it's veered from something that stood for good and the whole narrative has changed into something that's negative when that was not what it was initially about in the first place. Roger Goodell, we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. We've been very sensitive on making sure that we give players choices, a commissioner said. But we do believe that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on. The league and the players' coalition have been working in tandem on efforts to support player initiatives in the community for a variety of social issues. The NFL is committing $90 million over the next 7 years to social justice causes in a three-segment plan that involves league players. So what do you want from us? You want us to give you $90 million, and in return for that, you can't understand that this is hurting our business. This is hurting our quote-unquote brand. So again, this issue hasn't gone away. And honestly, the NFL Players Association gets left out of their decision, was not counseled, was not consulted in this whole thing. Then, that's stupid. You've got a collective bargaining agreement. You've got to go through them, or else you're going to wind up in court or some other nonsense. So again, the NFL. And I want to watch the NFL. I want to watch the 49ers. Yeah, because they're going to be better. They've sucked ass for, what, 4 years or some craziness? And now I'm not going to get to watch them. Doesn't make me happy. Another headline, U.S. troops deployed to lend a hand in Thai soccer team's rescue from cave. The entire Wild Boars soccer team, including 12 boys and their coach, was successfully rescued over the course of the last few days from a cave complex in Thailand, where dozens of U.S. military personnel were deployed to assist in the operation. For the rescue, 42 U.S. military personnel and one member of the U.S. Joint Military Advisory Group in Thailand were deployed to the multinational rescue effort, according to the Pentagon. That's awesome. 36 service members from Okinawa, including airmen from the 353rd Special Operations Group and the 31st Rescue Squadron in Thailand, participated in the operation. U.S. military personnel involved in the rescue effort helped stage equipment and prepare the first three chambers of the cage system for safe passage, according to Pentagon Army spokesman Colonel Rob Manning. They also provided transportation for the evacuees through the final chambers of the cave system and provided medical and technical assistance. The celebration of the soccer team rescue comes amid mourning for Saman Kunan, the former Thai Navy SEAL and volunteer who died Friday while delivering oxygen tanks to the caves. I still am curious about the details for that, right? Like, what happened? Did he have a heart attack and die? How did he die? I would also recommend, we talked about it yesterday, but I'd recommend that you go ahead and write this down, memo to self in terms of something to read. It's an op-ed written by commanding general of U.S. forces in Iraq. It talks about the future of Iraq in pretty glowing terms. So I'll just give you the headline and who wrote it, and then you can go ahead and find it. Maybe I'll put it on the read board. I'll put it on the read board later. Commentary: Iraq endures the crucible and emerges transformed. By Lieutenant General Paul E. Funk. General Funk, right, his official title is Commanding General Combined Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve, that's Iraq, Syria, U.S. Central Command, and the Commanding General of the 3rd Armored Corps at Fort Hood, Texas. All right, so his assessment pretty upbeat on the future of Iraq. That Iraqis see themselves as Iraqis and not simply Sunnis or Shiites. Okay, that would be a watershed event. Okay, if it happens, something that we have all kept our fingers crossed about. And so anyway, hope he's right. And too often we've seen that those glowing expectations are wrong. And interestingly enough, I was talking the other day about, you know, we do all this fighting. Why? We do all this fighting to get to this point to win the peace. And that's the critical phase, is you fight to win the peace. And again, we keep our eye on Iraq, hoping that whatever comes next will be good. And that it won't be simply the pawn of Iran. I did not intend for that to rhyme, but it did. And something good will come out of it. Something good, something stable after all the fighting and the bloodshed that has gone on there. So keep our fingers crossed. But I will put that on the read board here after we conclude. All right, we'll take another break. When we come back, we'll get to the early bird. More of All Marine Radio on this Wednesday edition coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
Colleen just crushing it. Hey, this is a great quote. Oh, man, I got to see if I can get it back. I just saw it on my TV. Let me read it to you. This is from Heiko Maas. I think that's how you say that. Heiko Maas? He's the German foreign minister. We are not captive, neither to Russia nor to the USA. We're one of the guarantors of the free world, and that will remain the case. What? Yeah, Germany, you're a freeloader, and you're delusional. Yeah, you're a delusional freeloader. Congratulations, you lose. No, the rest of us lose. Right? You're the one that's winning. Germany. Nice. Well done there, losers. All right. Before I give that one up, this is from top five stories in the early bird today, right? Top of the fold headline. Trump blasts Merkel from a distance, smiles during face-to-face photo op. You know what? So what are you going to do? It's not like he hates Angela Merkel, right? They have a disagreement, right? The United States has a disagreement with the quote-unquote old order. This particular has a problem with the order of post-World War United States, Europe, in which the United States underwrites not only your economy, but your defense as well. And, oh, by the way, we run deficits with most of you people. Or with many of you. Okay? So, I think the president does a pretty good job with this. I've heard him say before, hey, look, President Xi and I get along great. You know? But we have, you know, we're on different teams. I'm on the American team, and he's on the Chinese team. We see the future differently. They see the future as China ascending and the United States going away. We don't see us going anywhere. And we certainly wouldn't see the future to China, which is a communist dictatorship. That is not in anybody's interest that a communist dictatorship is the primary economic player on the planet. So we shall see. So anyway, and I think the president does a good job in kind of stating that. So, you know, again, the truth is the truth. Okay? So this is updated as of 8:20 this morning. President Trump had sharp words for Germany on Wednesday as NATO allies gathered for a summit in Brussels. He blasted the German government for not spending more on defense and suggested that a three-year-old energy supply agreement has left Germany captive to Russia. Hours later, though, Trump took a softer line during face-to-face photo op with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, A. Merkel, as she's known here. Quote, we have a very, very good relationship, Trump told reporters hours after saying that Germany is totally controlled by Russia because of its reliance on Russian natural gas. I think it's very unfair to our country, Trump said. It's very unfair to our taxpayer. Now, is that not true? But I think the media wants to make it, you know, again, for clickbait, it's better to get the president to blow up and try to make it a personal thing. It's not what he's saying. It was a bruising start to a NATO summit that was meant to emphasize the strength and unity of the alliance. And it's a sharp contrast to the conciliatory tone Trump has taken with Russia ahead of a meeting with Vladimir Putin next week. You know what? That's true, and that bugs the shit out of me. Okay, he better have the same plain spoken, right, shit with Vladimir Putin. It bugs me the way he never says anything bad about that dude. Okay, it bugs me. So, but the truth is the truth in Europe, right? But it's also the truth in Russia as well. And as far as this, like, so does anybody question NATO solidarity? Well, no, I don't think so. Okay. NATO is an important piece. Okay. But this is what NATO has to unscrew itself. Nations like Germany have to stop exploiting NATO and have to stop freeloading off NATO. And so do we not say that? Merkel bristled at the idea that the gas deal has left her country captive to Moscow. The chancellor, who grew up in the former East Germany, told reporters, I've experienced myself how a part of Germany was controlled by the Soviet Union. She insisted that Germany today makes its decisions independently of Moscow, adding, quote, that is very good, especially for people in Eastern Germany. NATO members have committed to spending 2% of their respective gross domestic products on defense by 2024. Germany currently spends about 1.2%, while the U.S. spends 3.6%. Many countries are not paying what they should, Trump said. And frankly, many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money for many years back. And they're delinquent. And as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for those years. Where is he wrong about that? Those nations have all made independent domestic decisions not to fund their commitment to NATO and to unilaterally stand down their military because the United States will defend them. So, anyway. All right. So, done with that. Yeah. Done with that. Irritates me. This is from Reuters. Headline, exclusive. So that means exclusive to NATO. I'm sorry, exclusive to Reuters, not NATO. After a discouraging year, U.S. officials expect review of Afghan strategy. The United States is preparing to undertake a review of its strategy in Afghanistan, U.S. officials told Reuters, a year after President Donald Trump begrudgingly agreed to extend America's involvement in the 17-year war. Officials said Trump has shown signs of frustration over the lack of progress since he unveiled a strategy last August that committed to an open-ended deployment of U.S. military advisors, trainers, and special forces, and increased their support for Afghan security forces. The goal was to force the Taliban militants to open peace talks with the Kabul government. Nearly a year later, the current situation is in a stalemate in which Afghan civilians are paying a heavy price. The Taliban are expanding in rural areas, but are unable to capture major urban centers, and the capability of Afghan security forces remains in doubt. And here's where the story gets kind of odd. Several current U.S. officials and former officials and advisors with direct knowledge said the White House has not yet formally ordered the review, but they were preparing for a government-wide appraisal in the next few months. The official spoke on conditions of anonymity, blah, 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 blah. We've received some indications from the White House that Trump would ask for a review in the next few months, so we're preparing for what it looks like, said a senior official. So, again, somebody told somebody via an anonymous source. So, but that in the offing, not surprised. This is from the BBC. U.S. fires the next shot in the China trade war. Yeah, this. And again, I'm all about trade wars. All right, China, we're paying for their military. We're paying for things they do around the world. That's right. Because President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton have all kind of sat back and watched China do things that aren't in our best interest. And we've kind of said, and more so Bush and in particular President Obama, and kind of looked the other way. The U.S. has ramped up its trade war with China, listing $200 billion worth of additional products it plans to place tariffs on as soon as September. The move comes just days after the two countries imposed tit-for-tat tariffs on $34 billion of each other's goods. President Donald Trump has already threatened to impose additional tariffs against China if it retaliated. The list names more than 6,000 items, including food products, minerals, and consumer goods such as handbags. So, again, the president just raised the stakes in that war, and I think it's about time. Again, rolling over for China is bad business. This is a story that you read on such a regular basis, that it seems like I read these stories, if not every day, certainly every week, and it seems like multiple times a week. Hacker caught selling maintenance manuals for military drones. A poorly configured router allowed the theft of drone manuals, a list of maintainers, material on the Abrams tank, and more. Until last week, you could have purchased one of the U.S. military training manuals for the MQ-9 Reaper drone, along with a maintenance manual for the Abrams tank, a guide to defeating IEDs and other sensitive materials, thanks to a hacker who put the stolen material up for sale online. The theft and attempted sale were brought to light by cybersecurity and threat intelligence groups who published a report about the incident and are working with law enforcement personnel on it. It's like Americans will sell anything if they can make a buck off it. The good part is they're not going to make that much money because the Chinese already have all of our shit. So why would they pay top dollar to get it if they already have it? So, yeah, thank God they've already stolen everything. So, it's not that big of a deal. Cybersecurity, I'm telling you. If you want your kid to be rich in the future, send him in that direction. Next story. For the first time, a senator is opposing the VA secretary nominee. What? That's never happened? Why does that not make sense to me? Senate Veterans Affairs Committee members said on Tuesday, as they voted to advance the nomination of Robert Wilkie to be the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs, but the move came with a symbolic and historic opposition vote against the move. The panel by voice, so normally you do a voice vote when it's either unanimous or very close to it. The panel by voice vote sent Wilkie's nomination to the Senate floor, but with Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, opposing the move. It's the first time in committee history that a member has voted against the VA secretary nominee. Pretty interesting that nobody's ever opposed a nominee coming out of the committee. Sanders is the former chairman of the committee, also intends to vote against Wilkie when his nomination comes to the full Senate for a vote. And here's a quote from Senator Sanders. This has less to do with Mr. Wilkie than President Trump. Trump has been very clear about his desire to move to privatization of the VA, and I suspect any of his appointees will try and move the agency in that direction. So when we talk about privatization, we don't even know what we're talking about half the time, because the VA is already privatized and increasing what they privatize. Wilkie, in response to Sanders' question about privatization, quote, I believe in the centrality of VA to care, he said in response to Sanders. There are things that VA does that will never be replicated in the private sector. If we believe that the veteran is central, we can also make the argument that as long as VA is at the central node in its care, that reinforces the future of VA. So what does that mean? As long as VA is the central node in his care, does that mean this? He didn't say central provider, he said the central node coordinating his care? Wilkie issued a statement subsequent to that interaction. Quote, VA healthcare should be centered around what is best for the individual veteran and should be integrated, agile, and adaptive, he said. In some cases, that requires VA medical facility care. In other cases, it requires community care. Hear, hear, Wilkie. Well done. Well done. Joining me on the program is the Prince himself, Michael Musselman. What's up, Prince?
Oh, man, bless me. Hey.
What?
I just wanted to call and say, man, I'm really happy for our friend in Alabama.
How about that?
That's what makes everything worthwhile. All the effort, man. You know? And like I said, things happen for a reason because, you know, and then the topic we were talking about. So another friend of mine called me from the East Coast and said, man, I caught your show for the very first time and boy, so we were talking about it. He's kind of the same way, but a little bit older, more mature. You would think that he'd figure this one out by now. He hasn't. But he said, you know, it didn't dawn on me. I went out with my buddies, and I didn't drink. But I saw them, and he goes, you know, Mike, I was embarrassed by their action. But then it hit me. I was like, wait a second, I'm that same guy when I'm drinking. But I was embarrassed by those guys. Like, I felt uncomfortable. I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be part of this anymore. And he goes, yeah. He goes, this is amazing. Because I saw it now. Now I can, but he, it, you know, it was just that he caught the end of the show or towards the end of the show. And it was something that's been weighing on his mind, but it happened to him, this past weekend. Where for some unknown reason, he didn't drink, but he saw the actions of everybody else and was embarrassed. And then he felt uncomfortable. And then, you know, so there's that learning lesson. So he's like, shoot, man, I'm a changed man.
You know, Mike,
I read the
letter here from our friend in Alabama, but I keep his name out of it, obviously, to protect the innocent.
Right.
But it is what the show's about. But I had a conversation with a friend of mine named Phil Smith, and about these kind of issues. And why don't we as leaders, right? And again,
right.
Why don't we as leaders, why aren't we more forceful in looking at our Marines who we love, okay? And it's not about jamming something up their ass or down their throat or something. We love these guys. We've seen how great they are and throughout our whole lives.
Right.
And so look, you know, and again, what was classic was I asked you, Mike, I want to ask you a question I've been talking about today, and I don't think you'd listened to the show previous yesterday.
No.
And I said, and you said, okay, what is it? And I said, PTSD and alcohol. And you laughed. that's how absurd it is. Yet, every guy you talk to, right, with issues will talk about how they screwed their life up because they were drinking and they didn't stop drinking a lot of them until they destroyed their first marriage, they destroyed their first family, and then they at least salvaged it and got remarried, repaired the ties to their first family, and are now doing okay. But
not always.
Yeah,
most of them,
right,
drink more because now they got more sorrow to carry. Their pack gets bigger. You know, then they drink more. And then before you know it, they're in and out of jail a couple of times. Then they feel worthless. They lose all the self-esteem. And then it's a crash downward spot. I mean, no tailspin is fatal. You can pull out of anything. You know, some people need help. Some people need counseling. Some people need that rude awakening to something to change their life, something to smack them that hard in the face. Others can do it by watching others.
Right.
That's the problem the Marine Corps would have. I mean, you could bring these guys like our friend from Alabama. You can, because they can relate to him. He's young. He put those boots on, and he could talk about this thing. I mean, Jeremiah Workman does this for a living, for Christ's sake.
Right.
And you know, if it was so successful, we wouldn't have these problems. The problem comes into is these kids, they're kids, and they feel like I'm invincible, or what the hell are you trying to tell me? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Or it just,
I can handle
it's
it.
It's a cultural, right, pure thing. Yeah, I can do this.
I can handle it.
I'm not weak.
Yeah.
I'm not you.
I can handle my
yeah,
shit. And like you said, it's like, look, I'm going to introduce you today to every person I know that is a drinker that's handled PTSD well. Okay? Stand by, hold on. They're all coming in the room right now. And they look at you like, there's nobody coming in the room. That's right, assholes. Because guess what? There isn't anybody. That's a zero right there. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a zero.
Well, they did it. So
yeah,
check this out. I read some. They did a study. I think it was it was an English commercial. Remember those commercials that were talking about texting while driving, and they were really, like, heart-stopping, you know? But they originated from England. And they showed, like, that split second someone's texting and then they strike somebody and take a life, and you know, but it's the domino effect, what they've caused, right?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I saw.
Okay, so there's a series of commercials that were targeted towards youth that targeted stop texting while driving, just stop talking on the phone, whatever it was, because, you know, you don't have those kind of reactionary skills to, like, look up and then boom, someone's in your way and you've just taken a life.
Right.
The commercials are horrible. I mean, they're gut-wrenching. They'll make you cry. And so they did this study, and they watched these British, they had these British teens that, you know, I forget how many people they had there, but they all talked to the, and they watched them, and that, to a man and to a woman, they were all like, oh my God, I'm mortified, I'm never going to, never ever going to do this again. Which was a true statement, because emotions, you know, they were emotional, very emotional. But then what that happened was, they came back, like, I think it was 5 days. It was something stupid. Not even, you know, not all the time. But they came back to these same individuals and said, are you texting driving? Oh, yeah, yeah. What about commercials? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, those were bad. And it was like 99% of the people that watched it affected their life. Oh, my God, I'm never going to do that again. And then 24 hours later, out of sight, out of mind, they went back to their habits.
Right.
So we are creatures of our habits. We need to change our habits. We need to change everything we do with our habitat. And if it's, you know, watching these things periodically. So I was really bad at it, texting that, because I had a BlackBerry, you know, and I was working on. So you're driving and you're always looking at your BlackBerry because you're getting emails and you're like, ah. And then so my wife and my daughter bought me this thing that hangs from my visor that was kind of bright and shiny. It would talk about no text while driving. And it was like a thing, you know, like a little car with a circle through it with a cell phone. But it was blinding me. So when I looked at it, I thought of them and I was like, oh, shit, I put the phone away. And then it was slowly after that, my habitat, I started changing my habitat. And now I don't do it at all. You know, so it's the same thing like drinking. It didn't stop overnight. I had to see it. I had to see, like, oh, man, this whole thing about, I act like that. Oh, that, I don't want to be known as that. I don't want people to, you know, it's fun to be the funny guy. Oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But that gets tiring, man. It's like, you know, I'm tired of being the funny guy. I'm tired of being the jokester. I'm tired of being, oh, or people refer to you as, hey, this is my buddy Mike. He's a funny drunk. And you're like, really? Or you find friends that's the only thing you have in common with. So, I mean, you got to change your habitat. You got to change your whole, everything around you. And that's not easy.
No.
But anyway, I just want to call in and say, hey, congratulations, man. That was a really good letter.
No, you don't.
We can talk about this more.
Mike, real quick, let me read you an email, and then you can take off. Okay, the email says this. I think you two ass clowns underestimate the power of your own leadership abilities. Both of you two are doing this because it's an extension of the way you've been while you were on active duty. You gave a shit. Marines respond to that. That is huge. I think that it should happen more often. Hell, you guys ought to run your own therapy clinic. Marines would get more out of it than talking to a stranger that has never walked in their moccasins, because at the end of the therapy, you would look across the table and say, hey, motherfucker, listen to me. Look me in the eye. Stop it.
Right.
You got it? You would give your cell numbers. You would be all in like good leaders are. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's what I hear, and I only started listening about a month ago. Well done. I heard Mac read the letter earlier in the program. I believe that's the mission of All Marine Radio. But it doesn't work unless you guys make it work. You guys, obviously, with your leadership experience, are special leaders. Keep up the great work. Awesome program. I don't know about great leaders. I mean, we try hard. I will say this. We started as testament to that in terms of experienced leaders. We were, I went and came home in 2004, went to the early 2004, came home in 2005. Mike dropped off for some reason. Hopefully he'll call back and we'll get his response to that. The first time I went home, you went and you met with like a group of Marines on a regular schedule. The chaplain, went down a questionnaire that talked about be sympathetic to your wife. She's had it as hard as you. Everybody laughed. She may not have done everything right relative to your money. Be mentally prepared for that. You might have sexual issues. Be prepared for that. So kind of went down a laundry list. I'm not sure how effective that was. The second time I went home in 2006, that had changed. Right? Units went someplace for a few days, and the most senior and respected leaders in the unit, okay, gave those kind of classes. The classes were more robust, but it's, I think, what the emailer's alluding to, and that is a lot of times the message gets lost for the messenger. Okay. The message gets lost for the messenger. But when you have credible people that you respect that look you in the face and say, hey, got to do this, man. And they won't accept. And again, in our culture, when you're having that experience and they tell you, I got to have this, you got to do it. No's not part of the tribe. It's not a response the tribe accepts. And if you think that you're going to say no and we're not going to do something to you, irrational and I won't say stupid, but there's not going to be a price to pay, then you don't know our tribe. All right. Yeah. This theme song right here, this tribal song, that song, and I hate to shut it off, okay, but I have to. That doesn't take, piss off, I'm not doing it. Doesn't accept that. And as the emailer kind of alludes to, there's incredible power in that. You know, when people that you respect, people from your tribe look at you, and really what they're doing is they're putting their arms around you and they're, you know, dare I say it, they're loving you. You know, that's what they're doing. And so that's a big deal, man. That is a big deal. And so I agree with what the emailer says. And I don't think Mike and I aren't anything real special in the Marine Corps. You know, the my friends are all like that and better. You know, that's why I had great experiences in the Marine Corps, because I have great friends. They're great men. Okay. They're great men, and as more of them get off active duty, you'll hear them, and it's easier for them to come on when they're not on active duty, and you'll hear them, and you'll say, "Wow, listen to that." If you haven't heard the battle study with Chris Bronzy, go listen to that. Go to the website and just do a search on Bronzy, B-R-O-N-Z-I. Okay, and listen to the things that he says. And the way he says them, right? Chris is a straight up, he's a leader. I met him in Ramadi in 2004. And we've been friends ever since. We're battle buddies times two. Met him at Combat Outpost. General Kelly went out there. Now Major General Kennedy, then Lieutenant Colonel Kennedy, a buddy of mine. Got a chance to see him, and so I met Chris Bronzy. But great officer, but a great guy. Chris Bronzy's mom doesn't eat ice cream when he's deployed. Right? She's a good Catholic woman. That's awesome. I love that. I love that she doesn't eat ice cream when he's deployed. So yeah.
the leaders matter and leadership matters. And but the cool part is this, because of the way our tribe is, right? When you're able to show somebody the way, guess what you just created? A disciple. Guess what the disciple's responsibility is? To preach the gospel. Now, I'm giving you a little bit of Catholicism there, but that's the way it works. Will you need to encourage him to preach the gospel to other members of the tribe? Answer to that? No. He knows he has to. She knows she has to. And that's the rewarding part of this stuff for us, and it's been that way for a long, long time for us, is if you could see their courage and selflessness, it would make you cry. If you could see it in combat every day, you'd be a mess. And you never recover from it. You spend the rest of your life finding ways to help out whenever you can help out. Because you don't have a choice. It's your tribe. They're your people. If they need you, then you go. No questions asked. It's a cool tribe. Trust me. All right. So good to hear from the gunner today. Mac, I missed the letter. Will you read it again? Yeah, let me take a break. Actually, no. I'll read it right now. It's entitled Alcohol and PTSD. And again, I got this thing, I don't know, late last night, so it was written late. He's in the Eastern time zone. I'll say that about him. But again, he's not any different, okay, than thousands and thousands of other Marines and soldiers and sailors and airmen that deal with demons. And some of them, go back to World War II, okay? Today's show... here's what he writes. Today's show is very important, and I want to thank you for setting it up with Bob, Jeremiah, and of course Mike, and especially thank them for the honest, deep discussion about drinking. I learned so much by listening to the show, and today was full of some of the best advice I've heard in one place. After our talk and listening today, it has affirmed for me that being drunk is not acceptable. During social occasions, I am responsible. I have just chosen to drink to intoxication by myself late at night. What a stupid thing for me to do, and I'm embarrassed by how I have acted in the past towards ones I've loved and recently emailing you drunk. No more alcohol in the house. And only responsibly on occasion. If for some reason I can't be responsible, then I'll shit can it entirely and go to AA, as that would indicate I do have a serious problem. The interview with Jeremiah was just awesome. And it was great to hear how well he's doing, and the family is doing great. There is nothing else on earth like All Marine Radio. I'm looking forward to staying sober. I have to. A couple things about the email that I want to comment on. This sentence, what a stupid thing for me to do, and I'm embarrassed by how I have acted in the past, to loved ones and whatnot. It's not stupid, okay? It's the path that I would say the majority of guys, I would say for sure, because that's my experience, take. It is well-worn. From veterans from different conflicts and wars throughout history. It's how we tend to do it most often, and that is we use liquor in some way, shape, or form to make ourselves what we think feel better, but ultimately it just unleashes the gorillas from the cage. Okay? I wish they were monkeys. They're gorillas. Predatory gorillas. That get unleashed. So no need to be embarrassed, right? And it's not stupid, right? When the institution doesn't look at you and paint for you a vivid picture, and I go back and I'll draw a parallel with, my thoughts on keep your honor clean. We need to be truthful with guys with Marines before they go to combat. This is what you're going to experience on the backside. So why do you keep your honor clean? You do it for you, for nobody else. And then show them that video of Barnado Simpson. Show him the first video from 1970 where he's telling you about what he did and how he thinks he did what he was supposed to do, you know, and how he's defending a little bit. I mean, you can tell he's uneasy with it, you know, but he's at that time he's 20 years old and he's already been to Vietnam for a year at the age of 20. Fast forward 20 years later, three suicide attempts later, and I think a year before his fourth suicide, which is a gunshot to the head, which finishes the job. You know, we failed that guy. But that is the way the majority of people go. And so just like with Keep Your Honor Clean, if you show them the unvarnished truth of what's in store and say, it's important that you do the right thing. Because you're never not going to see these things. I know, double negative, Mac. You're not supposed to say that. Okay? These things are going to be with you forever. Okay? So give it some thought. Same thing with drinking, right? When you get back, you know, all right, let's talk about dealing with what we just went through. And it's got to be the credible people in a unit, and you got to talk about alcohol. If you think you're going to self-medicate through the use of alcohol, I will guarantee you this. You will destroy yourself and you'll destroy your family. I will 100% guarantee you that. Because the two do not mix. The other thing that I wanted to comment was, when he says this, if for some reason I can't be responsible, then I'll shit can it entirely and go to AA, that would indicate that I have a serious problem. Okay? You do have a serious problem. You've got this thing inside of you. Okay? And that's why you've got to take alcohol's a part. Alcohol's a part of the problem. The problem is that you have these things inside of you that you have not made peace with yet, and you may never make peace with them. Okay, and then what happens is when you are using alcohol, it unleashes this stuff and it makes you a different person. Okay, so I think you have to admit up front that I have a serious problem. My problem is this post-traumatic stress I have inside of me. Alcohol makes that worse. Okay, so and I think he's right in the email. If you can drink socially, you know, with your significant other, if you can do that, that's fine. The problem is a lot of people can't do that. Okay, so the serious problem, I would say, is not the liquor. The serious problem is the gorilla. The liquor just releases the gorilla. So what are you going to do? Your serious problem isn't the liquor. It's the gorilla. The liquor makes the gorilla bigger, more aggressive, and bolder. So tell me how you do this. Yeah. We get rid of the liquor. Or, you know, if you can manage one or two drinks. But again, people who have a problem tend not to be able to do that. But awesome letter. Awesome letter. So, but again, my point of the cool part of this and the way I think it should be, and I don't want to say confrontational, but it should be in the mold of the classes that we give now when we come back from overseas. And that is the most credible leaders in the organization. And that's not always the highest ranking people, by the way. Yeah, there's some fairly high ranking people that'll be in a union that you don't want giving a class to anybody. No, not him. Okay? They are the guys who Marines look up to. And when they walk up there, nobody has to tell everybody to be quiet. Everybody gets quiet out of respect. And they're in units all across the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. Okay? They're in those units. And those people, you know, have to assert themselves and can't be afraid. So, anyway, interesting discussion. We'll continue this. I spoke with Ken Rogers after he got done hiking yesterday. Hey, Mac, what did I miss? Right? Ken Rogers made Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. And he's making another documentary about caregivers. But anyway, Ken has become a good friend. And he loves All Marine Radio, thankfully. And so when I said alcohol and PT, post-traumatic stress disorder, he said, oh, I know something about both of those. But I love that these guys will come on and will talk about their experience, their experiences, and candidly to help others. That's what I love about Jeremiah and the interview that we did with him yesterday. So we'll take a quick break. More of this program coming up next, Wednesday edition on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. I wanna wake up where you are.
to some email. I'll curse for you. Good morning, Mac. Hey, Mac, what kind of bullshit is that media jackass pulling? Give me a break. Damn, be well. Yeah, it doesn't work without. What would I do if somebody said, okay, hey, Mac, we got this great sponsorship, but you have to change the format. You're not going to be able to cuss. And okay, like, can we nail it down? Like, what word specifically? Okay, like, the F word, okay, I'm okay with. It's a big part of the way we talk, but okay, for money, I'll do that. But I don't know. No profanity? Is that our culture? It's a familiar place because we talk like we talk. And if people don't like it, they don't like it. But, well, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Training fatality. I may have missed it, but I don't think you brought up the training fatality on the USS Jason Dunham in the Red Sea a few weeks ago. A female ensign died of injuries incurred during small boat training. Incident details not yet out. You know, I saw that, I think, after we got off the air, and it made me sick to my stomach. So I guess we'll see. Here's what I pray is it wasn't some stupid shit. For instance, training accident at Camp Pendleton. I don't know. Remember about a year ago when the Amtrak hit the gas line, and the spark from the metal ignited the gas. It was like a blowtorch flaming onto the Amtrak. I mean, I don't know that anything prevents that. And somebody could say, "Well, you know, the markings." Like, yeah, I got it. But sometimes that stuff happens. It's a lot different than the way the Fitzgerald collided with a tanker that night. It's a lot different from the way the McCain turned in front of another tanker another time, okay, where negligence and incompetence is involved. I just hope that it's not the kind of stuff that is just knocks the stuffing out of you, okay? But, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to her family. And, again, you know, you're so proud of your kid out there, you know, serving the country, you know, safe in the Navy, right? Not a Marine, not a soldier, not running around in Iraq or Afghanistan or at some other crazy place doing crazy stuff. Died of injuries incurred during small boat training. So sad, sad, sad story. No, I did see that, and it sucks. Another email entitled "The Gorilla." That makes the most sense. I'm tracking Mac. No, I mean, you know, again, because this whole liner that Jeremiah says, this one right here.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine? Those aren't monkeys, right? Those are, they're gorillas. They're monsters. So, I think, so to begin to understand the problem, when we talk like that, you got to describe it right. And if you describe it right, then people begin to get the message. Right? And it's not just a gorilla like Mighty Joe Young. It's Godzilla. Right? That gorilla is a predator that's coming to kill you. And your job is to learn how to keep that gorilla in its cage. How do you do that? Well, you do it by dealing with the issues, but it's never going away. And so,
I think when you, I honestly believe that as you frame it like that, it begins, you begin to understand the danger that people are in. So, interesting. I agree with it. To me, it makes more sense. Not monkeys, man. Another thing those Vietnam dudes got wrong. I give the Vietnam guys a tough time because I love them. Right. No, I do. Right. If we pulled back the curtain on the black road that people would walk when they're burdened with post-traumatic stress. And you said, okay, this is the World War II door, this is the Korean door, this is the Vietnam door, here's the Desert Storm door, the Gulf War door, here's the Iraq-Afghanistan door. So you're standing there looking at those five doors, and you look and you say, why is that door, why is door number three so much uglier than the other doors? Oh. That door? That's the Vietnam door. Yeah, there's some stuff in that door that's not in the other doors. Just so you know. Oh. Really? Yeah. Might want to stay away from it. Stay away from those dudes that went into that door. That's the truth. So, their gorilla it might be a herd of gorillas, okay? So, anyway. But, nonetheless, we have to give them shit whenever we can. Because it's fun most of the time. My thanks today to you all for listening. To our guy for writing an email. My thanks to Jim Capers for Someday Coming On. Major type. You can check his story out. It's pretty cool. Also, my thanks to some goofball publicity guy who shut the interview off. Well done, bro. Couldn't just said, give me his email address. Hey, Mac, whatever I can do to support, let me know. Be happy to. Fired up that you're going to have him on. Would you mind covering these points in the interview? Not a bit, man. Thanks. Oh, no. That stuff's too difficult. We have to play the I'm in control game. Nobody does an interview, so Caper sat at home. Caper sat at home today doing nothing today. Well, I'm going to cancel the interview. Why? Because I didn't set it up. Oh, I got it. Stupid. All right. I'm not sure what we're going to do tomorrow. I've got a couple different things. I haven't made a final decision, but trust me. And my thanks to Gunner for calling up. I'll give you a common thread in all of this. It's our love for Marines. How special of an animal we think they are. That's the common theme in all of this. You heard the Gunner bust off a phone call. I sent him that letter early this morning because obviously he's a big part of it. And
it makes your heart feel like the Grinch's heart, right? The Grinch's heart grows three times its size when he hears the Who people singing. Yeah, that's how it makes your heart feel. And the best part is they deserve it because of their courage and selflessness. And when you can help them, there's no better feeling in the world. Well, maybe being a dad and those kind of feelings like that. Being a husband and those kind of feelings. But it's up there with that, in the holy of holies. So, and my thanks to Mike for calling in, and as well as Rudy and Montana Man. Yeah, hanging out in Montana today. So, anyway, have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch the dial. It's actually a very, very cool program if you missed the first part of it. Don't touch the dial. On a Wednesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.